If you did not receive a handout of the outline, raise your hand. We'll get you one. And Shay usually has it all covered, like he did this afternoon. Let's open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 23. I'd like for us again to read this together. And again, let me encourage you, if you haven't already, to memorize this. So let's go. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in clean pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you so much for the way you use this book to help us. Sometimes in gigantic things and sometimes in very minuscule things. This one is one that can really be a culprit to plague every one of us, sometimes lightly and sometimes heavily, especially with stress. So bless our time together. May we honor you, learn, and apply it to our lives. For we ask it in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. Thank you, Michael. Last week, we started a brief series about Psalm 23, and we looked at verse number 1 about the relationship for contentment. Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. He doesn't say that he just automatically woke up one day and had contentment. He said he had to work at it. So you and I do too. But the good news is we have a shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So everything a believer needs is found in that loving care of the Savior. And I gave you this verse last week, Isaiah 40, verse 11. Speaking about the Lord, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So by way of introduction, contentment's found in the Lord Jesus as our shepherd, but there's still moments when we do have him as our shepherd, and we have calm and we have thanksgiving. We still go through periods of life that are challenging in times of stress. Not long after I was first diagnosed with diabetes, it had been a few weeks, I went back to the doctor for follow-up. And I told him I had a concern. And in the conversation, I had done every single thing he said every day the same way. I did exactly the same diet, the same exercise for a couple weeks. And I said, all of a sudden, my glucose number skyrocketed. And he said, well, there's only one thing. I said, well, what? He said, when you've done what you said, the only thing that would make the difference is stress. He says, stress will affect your blood pressure. Stress will affect your thyroid gland. Stress just affects your body. And he said, that's affected your glucose, which was, you know, a new revelation for me. So I looked up some things with the Mayo Clinic, and I found stuff that I thought would interest you. It says stress symptoms may be affecting your health even though you don't know it. You may blame sickness for the annoying headache, sleeping troubles, feeling unwell, or maybe a lack of focus at work, but it could be just simply stress that is the cause. And then he goes on and he gives this article, gave common effects of stress. And the last one in that paragraph really, hit me about the diabetic thing. It says, look, as you go through this, stress symptoms can affect your body, your thoughts, your feelings, your behavior. Knowing common stress symptoms can help you manage them. Stress that's not dealt with can lead to many health problems, such as high blood pressure, including heart disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes. These are all attributed by the Mayo Clinic to have an effect on your body in such a manner. So stress can have significant other effects, and it has short-term and long-term. So I'd like for you to kind of remember these as we go through this message on Psalm 23:2. Short-term effects could be increased heart rate, blood pressure, elevated cortisol levels, muscle tension, pain, headaches, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, weakened immune system, digestive problems, even like nausea and diarrhea. And then long-term effects, you could have chronic high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes, weakened cognitive function, mental health problems, anxiety, depression, increased risk of infections, skin problems. I don't know if this is a special message to teenagers, but acne, eczema, and in old folks, hair loss. And these are short-term, long-term effects, all attributed to stress. Stress truly affects you as an individual. So again, it's important to note that these specific things about stress can vary. And there's other factors that contribute to this, even your age, your sex, etc. It says that there's individual coping mechanisms, severity and duration of the stress, overall health. Chronic stress can have a particularly detrimental impact on the body. And so you should have the link, I think, in your notes that you can look up some of these things for yourself. So again, I think I can make a generalized statement that in some form or another, stress is a common problem that we all have. And it's addressed in the Shepherd Psalm, especially verse 2. And we'll analyze that in a moment. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, this also is from the Mayo Clinic about how we can have some tips to tame stress. I'm including it because I want you to see these tips, how much they parallel with the message that we're going to look at from Psalm 23:2. So they ask a question, is stress making you angry and grouchy? Well, I think the best example of stress is driving in Albuquerque. You have stress because of these morons that cut in and out of you, and none of them know how to use a turn signal. Just cut over and back. We're on this, what I call the gossip line, over in East Mountain. It's an email that everybody posts all kinds of things, and I don't know how many times a week they post about the bad drivers and how they got cut off, and they take pictures of the people and their driver, their license plate. And I want you to know, never have they had mine on there. Never. Just saying. But anyway, the stress relievers can help you to bring back calm and peace to your busy life. And you don't have to put a lot of time into this sometimes. If stress is getting out of control, then of course you need a quick relief. Try one of these tips. And alcohol is not mentioned in any of them. So here's what they say. Get active, eat a healthy diet, avoid unhealthy habits. These are just common sense, I think. But here's where it gets into scriptural aspects. Meditate, laugh more, connect with others, assert yourself. I don't know how this one would apply scripturally. Try yoga. Get enough sleep. I could see that one, that's for sure. Now, they also encourage keeping a journal. But do you know preachers recommend that too? And here's how they encourage you to keep a journal. Read a passage in the Bible, think about it, pray over it, and then write down, what do you see? And keep a journal, and do that every single day. It helps keep you in the Bible, but it helps keep your mind in spiritual things. Get musical, and be creative. And the last one there was seek counseling. I think those are generally, you know, good suggestions. But again, you're going to see how much they really go with what the passage is. So wise believers, if they're going to get counseling, believers will go to the Word of God and they'll get their counseling there. And that's even for issues like stress. So number one, we have security in our shepherd. And you all already know that. You know, we've looked at that to some degree last week. But I want you to notice how it's phrased in two parts. He maketh me and he leadeth me. We just need to be submissive to let him do both. That makes us what we ought to be and then leads us where we ought to go. So understand this about the qualities of sheep. We covered this a little bit last week. Sheep's defenseless. Other animals can defend themselves fairly well. You know, a horse can run, a mule can kick, a lion can bite or use their claws. Snake, of course, can strike. And you know, even a non-poisonous snake will do that. A non-poisonous snake will also bite you. The good news is there's no poison. So a sheep's pretty helpless when it comes to so many things. Practically speaking, it can't do what we just looked at with other animals, but it really can't run. Legs are too short and its body gets too heavy. Has relatively weak muscles, has poor eyesight, it doesn't have good hearing. You know, when you're doing something like hunting, you're amazed at how well animals can see and animals can hear. I read from one sports magazine that a white-tailed deer can hear an acorn drop at over 100 yards. You know, sharks can smell drops of blood like a mile away. Other animals are very acute with defense mechanisms, but not a sheep. So they can't hear, they can't see, they can't fight. One of the descriptions in the Bible is Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb, speaking about the Lord suffering for us, like a lamb to slaughter. Sheep before shears is dumb, opens not his mouth. They are just quiet creatures, and they're easily overrun, I guess is a good way to put it. So the sheep really needs someone to take care of him. That's why the shepherd is so important. Sometimes, and I don't know if you all know this part, but sometimes the sheep will roll over on its back and it gets in what they call a cast position. So when the sheep rolls over, it's stuck on its back. It's a really weird thing. According to an article I read about this, the key danger is this individual sheep can fall into if the sheep accidentally rolls over on its back and its feet loses contact with the ground, it becomes permanently stuck in that position. And think about this. I can't imagine any other animal doing this, but the sheep gets in that position. I'll show you a picture in a moment. It's totally helpless. It's distressed. It struggles to right itself. It's no use. It can't flip its body over. The only other animal I thought of, I grew up in the country. I remember seeing a field with the fence post and what we properly should call a terrapin would be on top of the fence post on its back. Now, how did that get there? They don't climb up fence posts. someone with a warped sense of humor said, wow, let's go take care of that. And they put it up there, and you drive by, and there's that thing just always legs reaching to the sky, and he's going nowhere. And so gracious people like me goes over to the fence post, takes the thing, and puts it down there where it can walk. So here's what happens when that sheep's in a cast position. They have two stomachs, and this one called the rumen, gas starts to build up in there. So that stomach begins to swell. Circulation is cut off to the legs. So the cast down sheep will die 100% of the time unless there's a shepherd that goes over and helps it get out. So on a hot summer day, they die quickly. If the weather's cool and overcast, it may take several days. But if there's no interference from a shepherd, it'll die. So I want you to see what it looks like. You can Google this online, and you can find all kinds of pictures of a cast sheep. There it is. Doesn't that look dumb? Because sheep are dumb. They really are. They need a shepherd, and they need help. So again, when the sheep are in trouble, there's only one way, really. If it was an animal of prey, they would just attack. But unless the shepherd is there for their security, they don't have help. So let's go to the second thing, and that's sufficiency in our shepherd. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. So again, every shepherd knows how important it is to have sheep, let sheep have a quiet time. They get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then the shepherd leads them to a place, usually where it still has the dew, and they eat. And they'll eat for about 3 or 4 hours. And knowing, it's kind of like a cow. I think a cow has 4 stomachs, doesn't it? The sheep has the 2. So like a cow, they'll chew and they'll burp it up. And that's called chewing the cud. That grass comes back up and they chew it some more. And that's the way the sheep do this thing. So after they've done that, eaten, going over there, they go to a place to rest where they can digest all that. So sheep will not lie down unless they're content. And the shepherd tries to make it in a place that's conducive for not being scared. They're easily scared. So you take them to a place like a green pasture and then by the still water. So here's the deal for us. So many people are all stressed up and know where to go. Little play on words. I hope you caught it. We're tense, frenetic, and also we're always so very busy. All of us seem to have to do something. But sometimes that shepherd or the Lord makes his sheep simply lie down. Over in the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 7, says, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. It's almost like a propensity for failure, really. Though they be called to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's our source. That's our strength. When I think about this situation, the Lord maketh us to lie down. Right after the Lord had called me to preach, I think it was right after. It could have been right before. I was invited to Ohio State for spring practice. Now, for a Buckeye, that's kind of like, whoa, we got an invitation? So I had an invitation to come up for spring training. So I started working out. I was working on my speed. I was working on different things. And so they decided to have an alumni game. I said, great. So went to the alumni game. I was having a ball. You know, a lot of those alumni never knew how to play football. It was so easy. We had this one big guy that was a professional wrestler. he's big and ugly. And so I asked my best friend how it was going against him on the line. He said, piece of cake. And I said, well, this next play, I'm coming right by you. So I went by on his left shoulder. I just pushed him a little bit. He fell over like a ton of bricks. It was so much fun. There's another guy, a little cocky, and he was a running back. And I knew they were going to give him the ball in this play, so I blitzed. I hit him in the gut. I heard him go, yes, this is so much fun. It really is. So second half, I'm the kicker. I know where the ball's going because I'm the kicker. I'm kicking it that direction. So I kick off. The ball goes that direction. I start going that direction to make the tackle. I got about 10 or 15 yards, and it's like somebody chopped me down. And so I looked around. There was not one person around me. But I was in so much pain. What happened was when I cut just a little bit, my knee went totally out. Then it started swelling. I could feel it. I limped over to the sideline. I told the coach, I said, I'm done. I'm not going back out. It's just an alumni game. So the next thing I know, I'm going to the surgeon's office. He tells me what he's going to do. And New Year's Day, I'm in the hospital in Huntington, having had knee surgery. It was pretty radical. Everything that could be torn, every ligament had been torn. After the surgery, he comes in and says, I got good news and bad news. And I said, well, lay it on me. He said, well, we got this and this and this. That's good news. Bad news, if you want to go ahead and play football, I got to go back in and cut this here and put this here. And I said, nope, I'm done. Because while I was in that hospital bed, I knew the Lord told me I need to get my priorities right. I convinced myself that if I went to Columbus, made the team, I could witness to all Americans. And it's like the Lord slapped me side of the head and said, that's a stupid idea. I got other plans. So that takes us to Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. You see, I was just having fun. I was just thinking about me and sports. I had a love affair with sports that went back to 5 years old. I just love sports. And I still do a little bit. But it says, before I was afflicted. So you know what that means? David said, you had to whack me. Now look at the next verse. Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. There's been once or twice or a few times where I thought, what if? What if you know, I got my knee patched up, et cetera, and it's like the Lord said, didn't you learn your lesson? I said, yes, sir. My life is to serve and please God, but not in athletics. It wasn't. I used athletics to witness to kids, playing basketball, whatever, football. But I learned, when the Lord chastens you, you better learn from it and get your priorities right. And that's what he's saying about the sheep. You don't want to be a cast sheep, good for nothing except dying. You want to get back going. So sometimes when we don't know how to slow down, he helps us slow down. That's what he's saying here. So should we try to learn this on our own? When we started to work in upstate New York, there come a time that I started having migraine headaches. They were so severe, I couldn't open my eyes. I just wanted to be left alone. Sometimes I'd get sick. And it was, I learned, and Teresa and I talked about it, I was going all the time. And it's like the Lord said, time to lie down. Those headaches made me lie down. I had no choice. After we left New York, the migraines left too. I'm not going to try to find a correlation. I believe the Lord used those to make me rest. And he may use some similar things for you. Look, Proverbs 3:24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sheep, thy sleep shall be sweet. Ezekiel 34:17, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. So if the Lord has to cause you to lie down, well, still do it, but try to get alone and rest without the Lord making you do it. That's what he says, that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. So the good news is, as you see on this next part, it's green pastures, it's not brown. You know, whenever I was hunting whitetail and I harvested one, when I would go to field dress it, I would look to see what was in its stomach. I wanted to know, what's that deer eating? When I was in upstate New York, it was almost always corn. They would go out in the cornfields, feed, and then they'd go back in and find a place to rest. Here, you know, it's sage and stuff like that. You know, so in this case, the Lord didn't say brown, withered pastures, but these nice, lush, green pastures. And all we need and more is, again, to be found in the Lord Jesus. And I'm so thankful that he takes care of us. So when we begin to look about getting stressed, we get stressed a lot when we think our needs are not being met. And what does the Bible tell us? You know, we have a Savior who takes care of all these things. You know, whether it's worrying about food or friends or fame or fortune, fashion, fitness, those are common areas where we all stress. We may be worried about a friend. Or, man, I got to get in shape. Or, boy, if I just had a new wardrobe. Or the part about fame. Whatever it is. So we need to understand that the Lord Jesus is not saying that we can't have these things, but how we need to watch the significance they play in our lives. And the best place to go for this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I highlighted these on purpose. Take no thoughts, we could say for this message, don't get stressed out about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither they reap, and gather into barns, but your heavenly Father knoweth what they need. You know, before they even ask, he says, are you any better than they? And why take ye thought? And by taking thought, can you add anything to your height? And take no thought for raiment. Take no thought. Don't spend so much time worrying about things that the Lord will take care of for you. So he goes on and talks about the lilies and how beautiful they are. And even Solomon couldn't even compete with them. So that's what he's doing for us. And that takes us to the last thing, the serenity. We have serenity in our shepherd. And he leads us beside the still waters. Rippling water causes sheep to want to scatter. They get frustrated. They are stressed. So he leads us not by the muddy waters or the dried up streams, but beside the still waters. Just gently there. And you can see them and you can drink and so on. So the green grass is the green pasture of God's word, and the Spirit, the still waters. So the still waters speak of his Spirit. Matthew 4:4, he wants us to learn this, that it's written, man shall not eat, live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You know, over in Matthew chapter 5 begins the Sermon on the Mount. These are what's called the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man here, blessed is the man there. I think the Greek word might be makaroi. The word itself means happy. So happy is the man does this. Or you could say satisfied, content, to be congratulated, or even joyful. Those words all kind of fit. So just imagine how many people have a hunger for the word of God and a thirst for the Spirit. Of all the people in the world, it ought to be those that profess Christ. Born-again believers. Are they living that kind of life? Look, he didn't say, blessed are those that seek after blessedness or happiness. Sometimes we think that's the pursuit. The pursuit of happiness will make me happy. No. No, the pursuit of other things will bring the happiness. Happy are those that seek after righteousness. People who generally seek after happiness are not. You know, happiness is something you never find by looking for it. Kind of a paradox in that regard. Happiness is something that you stumble on as you're trying to serve the Lord Jesus. So again, happiness is really a byproduct of righteousness. One of my favorite verses when I think about happiness is John 13:17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. It's talking about spiritual principles. So a lot of people in the pursuit of happiness, they stumble into greater stress and sorrow. I want to summarize by going over to Isaiah 30 and verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The problem was with Israel, they didn't want that. Over in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you and I just need to stop, get alone, and meditate about how great God is. It says, I will be exalted in the earth. Jesus gave an invitation in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So by way of conclusion, we go back to the very first Psalm. Psalm 1, verse 2. Speaking about the right kind of man, his delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is where I would encourage you to think about the principles of the Word of God and the Lord and his greatness, and meditate on those things. In Psalm 19, verse 14, he says, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is something that's easy to take for granted. It's not that complicated to do. But if we put it into practice, we may find it's more beneficial. Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And over in the 119th Psalm, again, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. What is wrong with most of us is that we don't lie down in green pastures and meditate. You know, it's not just letting the cud ruminate. It's about being satisfied with what God has given us and being thankful and meditating about who he is. So basically, three things to finish up with. The cure for stress is the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in Christ our security. We find in Him sufficiency. And we find in Him serenity. He is all that we need. We just need to put it into practice the way He teaches us. One of them, again, studying the Word of God. Another one is praying without ceasing. Another one, witnessing and telling others about Christ. Learning to be what He wants us to be. So I hope that this somehow may help you to overcome some of the stress. The good news, physically, it will be kind of a bonus and a boost to you. It may help you to get healthier just by doing some of the things in the message right now. Let's pray. Father, You know all things, and You know how sometimes we do get stressed. Many times we are our own worst enemy. In reality, we do what we want to do. We make decisions without following Your leadership. You maketh us to lie down in green pastures. You leadeth us beside the still waters. Sometimes we don't care what You do. We don't want to be made, and we don't follow You. And we avoid the green pastures, and we avoid the still waters. So we do harm to ourselves. Many times in the book of Psalms, You start out with, "Fret not." Father, that to me is, don't encourage stress. Help us to be submissive and faithful to follow You. We pray in Christ's name and amen.